Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Hey, hello, I'm Baylen Leonard. You can join me weekdays from 10 for the No Repeat Guarantee on Absolute Radio Country. You can find us on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Absolute Radio app, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. On this episode of the Country Music Talk podcast, we're backstage at the Royal Albert Hall. I'm chatting to some of the stars of Highways Festival. Here's what happened.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Baylen Leonard backstage at Highways Festival, Royal Albert Hall. It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm really happy to say that Shane Smith from Shane Smith and the Saints, you are back and you're here with us. Hey.
Hey. What up?
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to talk with you again.
So the last time you were over Long Road Festival, and that was your first time in the UK, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was our first time. We had, like, years and years ago, we had played a small thing in Ireland, and it was like 2015 or something like that. But it wasn't full band; it was acoustic. That was our first big time in England to perform in front of any kind of a festival, especially, you know. And then we had the Bush Hall show.
Yes.
You know, I believe following that, I can't remember. It's all a blur when we come over here because it's like there's no sleep. You know, you're like either hopping on a train or a plane or something.
Well, listen, I'm going to help you right now. You're at the world famous Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to go on stage to play Highways Festival. Yeah. Clearly, I mean, we've caught up since the Long Road. You very kindly have been on the show since then. We caught up about kind of what that was like for you and how well the audience received you, and you guys just seemed to be loving it. Yeah, they loved you. Clearly, you like this crowd because you're back now.
Yeah,
obviously, it's
sure.
a different vibe. Yeah. Being in quite a fancy pants, red velvet lined jewel box.
But yeah, it's probably the coolest venue we've ever played. This and Red Rocks, I would say, are the two, like, when we walked into soundcheck earlier, it was just like, oh my God, you're joking.
Yeah. Right? Did you know anything about the Royal Albert Hall before?
So I had heard of it, but I had never, like, looked up photos of it or anything like that. You know, it's like I had just heard the name.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then a part of me wanted to look up photos and videos, and then a part of me was also like, I just kind of want to take it in and see it for the first time there.
So is that what you did?
No. I totally saw like one photo and I was like, oh, okay, all right.
But, it's great because it's such a, it's a very big venue, but there's something about it, and I think it's all the velvet. It makes it, it's really
class.
Intimate out there
Total
as well,
class.
Though.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I feel like, and I used the reference for Red Rocks earlier, but like, it's a similar thing in that you can fit thousands of people in here, but there's an intimacy to it, despite the scale. And Red Rocks is very similar to that, where it's like, you know, it's like 11,000 or 10,000 or something, but it's like you feel like you're in just like a small theater or something.
Yeah, people, and it's but it's also such an impressive venue, Red Rocks, as well. It's kind of like nature's version of the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
For people who don't know what Red Rocks is, tell us what it is.
It's a venue, so it's an amphitheater outside of Denver, Colorado, it's like these massive, I think it's sandstone rock formations, or maybe it's granite, but anyways, they're just like towering up out of the ground, and they built like this kind of bowl amphitheater, like seating right in between these two giant rock formations, and then, you know, the stage sits way down low, and then you know, the city of Denver is literally, from the audience perspective, it's like just behind the stage. Mm. You can see like the downtown of Denver. It's just like, it's really beautiful. But anyways, yeah.
Is it hard to breathe when you're doing that? Because, you know, in Denver, when I was in Denver, I was like, because you're so elevated.
Man, it is. Yeah. And normally, like when we play there, I normally will go for like a run anywhere.
Oh, are you a runner?
We try to just stay active, you know, and it's like the only way we feel sane, I think, like doing this. But especially if we're in like a high altitude like that, I'll try to make it a point to go run you know, a pretty good distance the day before or 2 days before, just to like get used to
The altitude,
just sucking air. You know what I mean?
Breathing, like, get used to breathing.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
Have you ever done a marathon?
No.
Would you ever?
I don't think my knees would hold up, dude.
I just don't know that.
I'm built for it. I'm like not the tallest guy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would just, I don't know, fall apart. But
They don't do it so much in the States, but you know, here, like the London Marathon, everybody likes to wear a costume. But like really big, elaborate costumes. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures.
I haven't seen that, but that sounds
impressive.
But you know, impressive.
Like Boston or New York or wherever, pretty much any other marathon, people are like, I'm running a really long distance. I'm going to wear proper running gear.
Right.
Here they're like, I'm going to dress up as a dolphin. Or there'll be people who's like, I'm running with the heaviest costume for the Guinness World Book. Like, what? Mm-mm.
That's amazing.
No.
I need to look that up for sure, though. I hadn't seen that before.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, but I mean, cool. Also, God bless them.
Yeah. Have you done that?
No.
Have you done a marathon?
No.
Half a marathon?
Never.
Okay.
I ran track in high school, but I'm not a distance runner.
Yeah, but you've got that head start. You know, like you could probably do it.
Here's the thing, like people die doing marathons. I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not doing it.
I don't need it.
Hey, Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
I think since the last time we spoke, you made your Grand Ole Opry debut.
Yeah.
Or at least since the last time you were here.
It was right around that time, I believe. But it was incredible. That was another kind of bucket list, you know, item to check off that we were fortunate to get to do. I guess it was in like late February or maybe March or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's incredible. I mean, it's only like four songs or something. You know, you only play like three or four songs.
Yeah.
It's real quick. But It's
amazing,
impressive.
Though, how much is tied up in doing, like, because, you know, there's a lot of people on the Opry every night, and like you're saying, unless you're the headliner, and even the headliner doesn't get that many songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're on, you're off, and so particularly when it's a debut, do you kind of blink, and you're like, what just happened? Is it an out-of-body experience?
Yeah. My wife has kind of made it a point with me here lately to be like, you need to stop and take a second and, like, actually absorb what's happening around you, because you're just like in go mode and you're just focused on the show and whatever, and you're not taking in any of it, you know. And she's totally right, because that's just how my mind works, you know.
So you're like that in life anyway?
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know, especially like professionally, I think with work and like with the shows, like I just really try to it's almost like a game or something, like a game day or something, like I'm really like honed
in on it. Well, you just zone in.
Yeah and but when you do that, you kind of like don't absorb the magnitude of it a lot of times. You know what I mean? And like you kind of like, you know, pick up your head an hour and a half later and the show's over and it's like, whoa, what just, you know, you just did that or whatever, you know. But anyways, I like made it a point, is what I'm getting at, that at the Grand Ole Opry, to just kind of stop and like absorb it and just and it's, I didn't think I was going to be nervous at all until we were there, and I just was reminded of the history of the show, like the actual show of it, and the production and everything that has gone into it for decades and decades and decades now. And anyway, it was really cool. It was a great moment. And anyways, the lady that had kind of emceed us to go on, we ended up getting to see it Stagecoach just a few weeks ago and catch up on all that stuff. Yeah.
Kelly Sutton. Yeah.
Yes. And
lovely friend of the show.
Dude, she's so cool. And
she is so cool.
I think she was interviewing with Amazon.
Yeah. It's just a special night, the Grand Ole Opry. Like, even though it's been running for as long as it's been running and people have been doing it for as long as they've been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the audience is so, a lot of them have been dreaming about being at the Grand Ole Opry for a long time as well, you know, and saving their money to be there.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Usually just as excited as people on stage, because it's been a bucket list of theirs to go to the Grand Ole Opry as well.
And it was sold out. I mean, there was like no open seats in that place. And so it looked incredible. Like,
yeah, and it's big.
When you walked out, it was kind of like, okay, here we go, you know.
Congratulations on the album, Norther. Mm-hmm. I always feel like I'm not saying it right, Norther.
Norther.
Is it a localism?
No, I mean, it's like a term used for like a cold front, you know, like a big storm front bringing in the cold from like the northern states, you know,
it's a northern, you know. We just don't say it
like
here.
A northerly wind or whatever, I don't know. It's like just about a massive like storm system. We see them all the time in Texas and Oklahoma And it's an incredible thing to see, you know, like it's pretty powerful.
Because you can see it coming from miles
away. Yeah, yeah. Out there especially because it's just so open and so flat in a lot of those areas. And, yeah, you'll be outside and you just see this blue, just giant blue, gray, green, just wall of like a just a wall of storm. Just
and are you like, and it's just like the basement.
I think, if you're in Oklahoma, for sure. Yeah.
Get the chickens.
And Kansas.
Get
and
the
Missouri
kids.
And all those.
Get
states.
In the basement.
Yeah.
We talked last time about Yellowstone, what impact that had on you. And it seems we just had Tanner Azray in, and, you know, we've talked to so many artists where that has had such an impact on their careers. I mean, is it fair to say that something like that changes the course of a career?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for us, we had never gotten. We had, you know, toured our butts off for over a decade and had built up like a cult following, but it was a small following, you know, relatively speaking. Like we had, I remember on Spotify, we had like 270,000 monthly listeners, and that was with no help from Spotify, no help from anybody ever. And we've never been on a label. We've never been. And so that's just touring for 10 years, you know, and building up that fan base. Anyways, and then whenever that happened, I think it just like, it was like overnight, it was like 750,000 monthly listeners, like that. You know, it was almost like a, it's like you're so thankful for it, but at the same time, you're kind of like, oh my God, like, really? Like, we've been working so hard and then like this one, you know, relatively small moment, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's huge. It's just the reach is just like, you don't understand it until
it happens.
Until you go through it. So,
what are you going to do on the rest of it? I know you got some other dates and stuff, but you're going to have some time to get into the UK and see a little bit of it?
No. I mean, I mean, we're here, I think, like 8 days or 7 days, and there's five shows. And so, or five or six or something like that. And so it's, and our flight got canceled on the way over here.
Oh, no.
Into Copenhagen. And, and so we ended up having to fly a day late on the show day. We landed that afternoon, went straight to sound check, straight to the, then
feeling
played. And so we've never caught up, you know, like we never had that initial day to kind of like get right, you know. But
well, it is so exciting to have you back. Thanks for coming in to see us again. You're going to keep coming back to the UK, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, the shows have been like, we played outside of Amsterdam in Utrecht. I don't know how to pronounce it, but
you got it, Utrecht.
Yeah, and so, anyways, we played there and it was sold out, and we played in Copenhagen and it was, I think, sold out. I think Manchester is about to sell out and Glasgow is sold out, and so they've all been. I mean, like it's amazing for us.
Well, we love you over here.
Well, I appreciate it. We're gonna keep coming back. So.
Excellent. Well, we will look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks, Shane.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.